This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. This one actually ties into sports a little bit. Plus, we'll get to the Chiefs Red half hour in a half hour. Travis Kelce had some thoughts on the NFL schedule, particularly the Chiefs opening up in Brazil. You'll hear that from his New Heights podcast coming up in just a bit. Thanks for hanging out with us here on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. We got JT Noah filling in for Drew producing the show today. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7965. The show also always streaming, not only on the Odyssey app, but if you want to watch the show, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. So let's dive a little bit deeper, though, into the schedule that came out yesterday. And earlier we discussed, you know, just our reaction to all the primetime games. What do you actually think, though, is the toughest stretch? I'm not even talking about, like, clearly the first nine games are tougher than the back eight or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious.
But in the entire schedule, look, I do think because once you've played seven games, that by then you might have accumulated injuries. Nobody's feeling great at that point in time. The wear and tear is on your body way before week seven. So for me, week eight, it's not even the timing of, oh, they're playing three games in X amount of days. It is the fact that you would have played week six, the Detroit Lions. Then you get the Raiders at home. So you get three straight home games, which is nice. But after already playing Baltimore and Detroit and the Eagles and the Chargers, then I am still playing the Commanders on a Monday night game. And then I'm at Buffalo before my bye. So it's the Commanders-Bills game, not just because they're two of the tougher opponents, but it's knowing that I would have already played seven really tough opponents, including Baltimore and Detroit and the Eagles and the Chargers before I even get there. It's just it's a really tough stretch.
I think that four-game stretch, I think inarguably, is the most difficult. And normally I would say a stretch that included some road games. So I think you could make an argument for the first four, because I think the five-game start before you get at home to Detroit kind of also sets the stage for then how big of a challenge are you up against. How do those games go? Before you have to take on Detroit and the Commanders and go to Buffalo before your bye week. The first four is the only other argument in the entire schedule.
Chargers, Eagles,
you
gotta
go
Giants,
to
Ravens.
Brazil, throw off your whole schedule, do kind of a mess. You don't get extra rest. You still got to take on the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions. The Giants is a joke, fine. But then you got to take on Baltimore, a team that was one of the four best teams last year, certainly. So you got to take on one of the two best teams in the league last year in the Eagles, one of the four best teams in the league in the Ravens, the Chargers, who were an 11-win team at what I would argue is a more difficult place to play than you even normally play them. More travel, more heat, everything else in between it. It's either the first four or the four after Jacksonville. Now, I don't take Jacksonville seriously, and I'll continue to not take them seriously until Liam Cohen somehow unlocks the talent that apparently lies inside Trevor Lawrence that I've yet to see really been realized at some point in this stage. But it's those surrounding ones that I kind of look at more. What I kind of view it as is a little bit more like you, though. Like, if you made me say, I'd say the same stretch as you. And the reason why is I just look at those five as tone setters. You go 4-1 for whatever reason against Philly, the Chargers, the Giants, and the Ravens, and the Jags. Let's just say the Jags and the Giants are wins, even though they're on the road, and they only lose one somehow between Chargers, Eagles, and Ravens. Well, then that four-game stretch doesn't seem so bad. I'm at home, good teams. I get the Raiders. I get a bye at the end of this. Okay. 3-2 or 2-3, pressure's on. Now you can't be messing around with these home games as much, especially because, you know, two of them are against AFC opponents. The only part that makes the earlier part stretch is Chargers division game, Ravens big-time AFC game, and, you know, like, the second stretch has that too.
I mean, just it's still only May, but how we perceive these teams. Like, the Chargers were 11-win team last year. I think they're a 10 or 11 team again, win team again this year. The Eagles obviously won the Super Bowl last year. I don't think they're falling off a cliff, okay? So they're going to be a very tough out. The Giants, I think they're like a 7-8 win football team. The Ravens,
I'm not sure of that, but yeah,
Yeah. I mean, so the
Max,
the Giants to me, the Ravens to me are a team that will once again compete to win the AFC North. They could be a 12-13 win football team. Then Jacksonville, brand new head coach, fifth year for Trevor Lawrence. You know, are they a 7-9 win football team? The Raiders, they'll be better than a year ago because Pete Carroll's their head coach and Geno's an upgrade, but they're also in that 6-8 win range if all goes great. And then you get the Commanders, who we already talked about, who have what looks like one of the great quarterbacks in the league, but does he have a sophomore slump? And then Buffalo, I think we all know those games are always going to be tough. Josh Allen, MVP, all of that. So how you perceive these teams, you know, you can think the Raiders are better. I don't think that's suddenly a loss. You know, we can all play the exercise.
Like, because you're the Chiefs, it's not usually a loss, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they were 15-2 a year ago. I don't think the Chiefs are going 15-2 again. But with that said, I also know their win total is over under 11.5, and I don't believe you can take the under on that. Like, this is a Chiefs team under Andy Reid that typically wins 12 games just about every single season. And if they're healthy and they were to not drop both of the first two games, then they're on pace to be a 12-13 win team again. If they were to start 0-2, shockingly, then we're having a conversation and everybody, you know, the world will be ending and all of a sudden that yep. Giants game on Sunday Night Football will feel like the biggest game of the season.
If I expand it out to five games, well, then you're probably talking the first, you know, like the Eagles through the Lions or whatever. Because this is one book, right? So I'm just going to give you one book rather than give you the aggregate right now. It's a little bit easier. Win totals by team. All right. So Buffalo's at the end of that commander stretch. They have one of the highest, and the Eagles are both at 11.5 with the Chiefs. Ravens are at 11.5 as well. Okay, so real quick, of the four teams with the highest win totals at this book, the Chiefs face all three in the first 9 weeks.
Yeah, they have the 11th toughest schedule
of the NFL
football
season. What's making it, and like, if we did the reverse of this, the easiest stretch is the last four games of the year. You get two at home, and your two road games are Titans and Raiders. Sweet. Well, that sounds
two
nice.
Places that would have a ton of Chiefs fans if they were big time, you know, if the Week 18 game is needed. Otherwise, again, it truly could be Gardner Minshew against Geno Smith in Vegas Week 18. Hopefully that's the case, because that means the Chiefs have everything locked up, or at least they can't improve their seeding. And look, we know this is not a surprise from a betting angle, too. You were going through win totals. The Chiefs are going to be favored in most of these games all year. That's just where they're at. And already, Week 1 against the Chargers in Brazil, they're 2.5-point favorites right now. You can bet it right this
point
second.
Point and a half favorite against the Eagles, I saw, maybe?
I think that's where it opened up at. Yeah. Yeah, 1.5 still. September 13th, 1.5-point favorite. And then there was also, I tweeted it out, I don't see it in front of me anymore, but the Lions are already out for a couple of the other games later on in the year, including the Cowboys Thanksgiving game. The Chiefs are favorites, you know, in just about every game. I mean, this is where they're at. They're 4.5-point favorites at Dallas on Thanksgiving. They're 4.5-point favorites at home against Denver on Christmas
night.
They're
probably
right
a dog
now
at Buffalo, but that's about like
that
one
would
of
probably
two games
be
maybe
the
they're
case.
An underdog.
Yeah, but what are they, a 1.5-point dog, you know, when that line opens up?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, this is what we expect out of the Chiefs. It's just as I go through the schedule, I'm always curious what we kind of view as these stretches or those things. By the way, did you guys get a chance to look at a lot of the schedule releases from last night?
So, a lot? No.
I went through some because I'm always kind of curious.
I saw three or four. The Chiefs one we all saw because it was the Chiefs. They did the whole, you know, taxi cab thing or whatever.
Ben Bailey from Cash Cab.
Yeah,
I liked that show a lot when it was out, so it scratched a little nostalgic. I will say, most people go with current event stuff for, like, pop culture.
I thought it was fine, though.
Not against it. It was, I would call it, am I, is it, say, mid. Right? That's you looked at me and knew I was going to say something stupid. Mm-hmm. JT said, no, I can't say that.
No.
Okay.
No.
It was middle of the road.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
It was middle of the road.
You know, my one request I had, I said, Seattle, it's right there for you. You play at Lumen Field, the hit Apple show, Severance. The corporation is called Lumen, spelled differently, but it was right there. Seattle didn't do it. Then this morning you told me, hey, check out Baltimore. And I did. Baltimore had a beautiful 6-minute Severance schedule release.
It might have been a full episode.
They nailed it. It was great. Props to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm just saying, Seattle, it was there. You guys dropped the ball. I don't know why you didn't do it. You had all the tie-ins there. But the Ravens did an incredible job with the release. And then the Chargers continue to be the
gold standard.
The gold standard when it comes to schedule release videos. They got that going for them, even if their football team doesn't win a whole lot.
They spent 600 hours on it. They place 1,000 Easter eggs in it.
Minecraft too. You were just talking about Minecraft yesterday.
That was weird. That was weird timing, honestly. I was just talking about Minecraft. By the way, the Chargers Minecraft one is apparently still up. Did you guys see the deleted Colts? It's still up because it's the internet. The Colts also had a Minecraft
one. Yes, they did.
It looked way inferior to the Chargers one. Like, how much less time did you spend on it? Then they deleted it because, one, they apologized to Microsoft, because I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that the Chargers got Microsoft's, you know, like, they paid the licensing fee in order to do this.
The
Colts thought they could just do it, so they apologized to Minecraft, and they had to apologize to Tyreek Hill.
The Colts one is funny because of the apology. So the Colts said in a statement, quote, "We removed our schedule release video because it exceeded our rights with Microsoft and included an insensitive clip involving Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill. We sincerely apologize to Microsoft and Tyreek." If you guys ever thought that sentence was going to be written by an NFL team, "We sincerely apologize to Microsoft and Tyreek." What a weird world we're living in. But basically, they had in the video, or the Minecraft video, they had
Tyreek Hill getting arrested by the Coast Guard.
The Coast Guard arresting Tyreek Hill. We all know there was... I know it's hard to keep track of his incidents, but
he's had a number of them. There was an incident on a boat. He said, should have let, by the way, on Twitter 20 minutes ago, he said, should have left it up at Colts.
They should have.
This was funny. Then a shrug emoji. I don't know if he's being serious or not, but obviously the leaked videos. What's funny about the Colts taking it down is, what do you think? It's going to go away?
Yeah.
We have the internet now. That thing's going to be everywhere across the board a million times. I actually thought one of the most creative ones, even though, like, if it's for a team that you would never catch cold, one worth catching was the Cardinals. The Cardinals self-produced an entire rap from one of their players, customized rap for every opponent. I thought, that's pretty good.
Oh, you would like that.
I know, but it was like you would like that.
That's Cody's thing right there.
Original, creative, incredibly well produced. Like, I'll give them credit because, like, sometimes it does feel like they just go for the, hey, let's go for the popular thing. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Minecraft, Severance, right? You go with the stuff that makes sense. And then other ones, it's like they're trying to be outside the box enough. So the Bills did, hey, we're going to use AI. And it was Allen Iverson, not AI. Yeah. And you're like, going with a slight joke. Cool. That's not bad. And then, but to have one where you're like writing an entire thing, it's crazy.
Yeah.
For an entire schedule release.
The one social media department, and it works because it's popular on social, but I would think in terms of work hours and man hours put into it was the least. So the Falcons did the like sports, but art, you know, like art,
yeah, art, but sports,
art, but sports Twitter account. Mm-hmm. You guys have seen that's where you take a photo, you use a screenshot or whatever of a play in a sporting event or something. Right. And then this Twitter account turns it into an art, or a famous painting or something. Right. And that's what the Falcons did for every single game. cool idea. It works. It's just like that one was the easiest. They didn't have to come up with the actual artwork or anything. I mean,
all ideas don't take 600 hours of intense editing. Every Chargers one does because they're either
the Chiefs one was fine.
Anime or Minecraft or a million others.
The Chiefs one was fine. It's not the top one. I thought it was still very well produced and very well done. You just wanted something more up to date is what you're saying.
I liked Cash Cab. It was fine. Like I think and you know what the truth is? This is probably just a personal like of these things. I like when the teams take shots. I like when they fire at each other. I like when they like poke fun. And the Chiefs organizationally don't do that. So like I shouldn't anticipate. I don't go into it expecting to be like, this is the year the Chiefs are going to make fun of someone. That's not what they do as an organization, top to bottom. That's not what they do either, whether it's a Clark Hunt thing or an Andy thing, or I don't know who it is. But like, or a Donovan
someone
thing,
should go through.
They're always just a little. They're always just a little more careful, and that's fine.
Someone should go through and look over the last couple of years the social media teams that have done the best schedule release videos. What's their football team's record? Okay,
What's the Titans have the all time.
What's their success rate on the field? Congrats to their social media departments, but how's the on the field product going for some of these teams?
Someone went over the Colts' whole video and they said there should be more apologies out there because
more
of what happened. There's a screenshot of Mahomes Sr., Patrick Mahomes as a frog, and John Rucker in a boxing ring. And then you also
That's a good joke. What's wrong with that? I don't think they always want to apologize.
Houston Texan one is getting people rowdied up because even though he's not on the team, it's Deshaun Watson in a spa with a girl.
Still for the Texans?
Yeah.
Now, why are they still doing... In fairness, he's not on the team anymore.
That's what made no sense.
That's way worse
can't do that
one
unless it's Cleveland. You can't be bringing him into it anymore unless it's Cleveland.
And then they have Will Levis getting hit by a bachelor bus, which I didn't understand.
Wait, which one?
It was Will Levis for Tennessee Titans. He gets hit by a bachelorette bus.
Oh, well, he's in Nashville. Nashville's like the bachelorette party
capital
of the world. But
getting hit by a bus is wild.
That one, I get what they were going for there. Some of them were better than others.
You got to be smart about the shots that you take. They got to be subtle, or they got to be like not too personal, but still kind of funny.
The Charger one with Anthony Richardson just gets me with the Mario Kart. Oh, yeah. I'm out of energy. I can't do it.
The what?
The Mario Kart one. They did like a whole Mario Kart.
Oh, within the Chargers video.
And then the Falcons did a full Mario Kart video. Are you talking about the Falcons one or the Chargers one?
It's the Chargers and the Minecraft, and they're like racing Mario Kart, and Anthony Richardson goes, oh, I'm out of energy. I can't finish.
That's so good.
That's a good shot.
That's really good.
That's
really good.
It's all just kind of like maybe which way it goes. I don't want to like overly, you know, like again, the Chiefs is fine. Did you watch Cash Cab when it was on? I used to watch that regularly.
Never heard of it.
I've heard of it. I think maybe
probably
briefly.
Outside your window.
It would be on TV, but I don't know. Like, did I actually like religiously watch it? No.
Do you guys ever into any kind of trivia thing? Did you do the daily trivia one that was on the phone there for a while?
HQ trivia? Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was always
HQ trivia.
Yeah. What's his name?
I don't remember his name now. Scott Rima something.
I feel like it ended like Oslowski or something. Oh gosh. HQ trivia. Here we go. Scott Rogowski. Scott Rogowski. HQ trivia, man. That was a fun like year that it was around, basically. The trivia would always start right before my afternoon show when I was in Boise. So we would do the trivia right before we hopped on the air. I never won, by the way. I don't know if you ever won.
Sarah, I did win once.
How much money did you win?
Oh, not much.
Because there were some where if you got lucky that day, there was you got a share of the prize or whatever.
It must not have been a big one that day.
Scott Rogowski.
And then Sarah Priebus or whatever was the other one.
Towards the end, they got two.
All the other ones. Those are the two.
They had celebrities doing it.
You know, they had to try to keep the interest up. What do you think what happened to Scott Rogowski? You think he's still working?
He's only 40 years old. He's not just fell off the face of the earth. He's a comedian. That was how he got hired to begin with. So he's a comedian. But I don't know what his projects are right now. He earned the nickname Quiz Daddy.
Quiz Daddy.
That's what I was asking. You know, Cash Cab seems like, you know, just quick trivia, easy. The Cash Cab one's easy. It's exactly like you saw in the thing. They just ask you questions while you're driving from point A to point B. And then you can always go double or nothing at the end, you know? I will say, this is like the smallest thing. We need the Chiefs to get about 20 years down the road so they've got like more of the former players they use for stuff like this. And I love Trent Green.
How many other teams use former players in their videos?
Well, I don't know. Like, on this one, maybe not. But like for any of this stuff, like they need to Like the alumni base, it's time for like, I'm ready for like the Super Bowl champs to be a part of that.
Well, they're in that era still.
You know?
They're still playing.
I'm ready. I know. I'm not trying to fast forward. I mean, what just, you know, I'm ready
you
for
you want
the...
Derek Johnson in the taxi cab instead sure. of
Give
Trent
me Jamal
Green?
Charles. Jamal Charles would have been great.
I'm just saying like they can start working in some of the new blood. They use Trent for a lot of that stuff. He is an incredibly nice person though.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Ohio, the state of Ohio, and we were earlier talking about the issues in the Missouri legislature, how they can't get anything done. Well, let's go to Ohio, where apparently they have more time on their hands there, and they're working on the real important things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Missouri legislature couldn't even, you know, they couldn't even talk about stadium stuff. What's Ohio dealing with?
Well, Ohio must have more time on their hands. An Ohio representative has presented a bill to prevent Ohio State football games from being scheduled at noon. The bill would prevent games from beginning before 3:30 when a state university is involved, except for Michigan. They don't like the big noon kickoffs. They were on a bunch of big noon kickoffs last year. Ohio State was. They got upset by it. And so now a representative is spending his time in the legislature. Crafting a bill that would prevent networks or Ohio State from playing football games at noon. Yeah, this is the real important stuff going on out there. Real important stuff.
Probably has bipartisan support, man.
There was another story around the whole flag planting thing that somebody at Ohio, another legislator, I think, in Ohio was trying to ban that. Remember?
I think in order to introduce legislation like this, you should have to either pay money to charity or you should be at risk of criminal prosecution. You can't be wasting everyone's time to try to get your team off of the big noon kickoff. That does not matter. That fundamentally does not matter. What is it, like an economics part of it or something? Unless there's like a real reason other than I don't like watching the game at 11 for big noon kickoff.
Their fans didn't like it. That's basically like it. It's just, it's crazy. Hopefully it doesn't pass. That's just, what a waste of time.
Also, why would I like, if I'm Fox, the TV network, I don't have to honor anything.
Like, this university just would not, if it became law, I believe the university would not permit games to be played at that stadium before a certain time, you know, or something. It's just stupid.
I think that's crazy because as a college student, I always like the early games because you get to tailgate right in the morning, get drinking a little, and get rowdied up for the game. I don't like the midday game because you're waiting.
Back in college, I hated the 11 a.m. kickoffs because then Friday night, you really took it easy. You didn't do anything. And then, so you had to make a decision, you know? You had to make a decision.
There were a lot of 11 o'clock games when you
were
in Kansas.
Yes, there were.
Pretty much all of them. Yeah. Maybe.
Hey,
I don't know.
My freshman year, they were still supposed to be good. It was the rest of my time.
Okay.
The rest, freshman year.
People still had hope for them.
My freshman year, I believe they started 5-0. And then everything.
Oh, that's right,
and
the rest. And then they didn't win another game?
And then they just stunk for the rest of my time as a student at Kansas.
Mm, that's unfortunate.
And then for many years after that.
I guess just part of it is like, you're not doing a radio show. This isn't like a bit.
Yeah.
You're like wasting taxpayer money.
Yeah.
I got to like pay more property tax so you can sit around here and say no more big noon kickoffs. Come on, man. I know it's not my state, but if they were doing this for Missouri football,
according to this bill in Ohio, violating the law would incur a $10 million fine against the host team's conference or the TV network, depending on who scheduled the game. On top of that,
$10 million?
No state university would be allowed to associate with the NCAA, a conference or network that may compel a school to schedule a noon kickoff. Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
By the way, this is the other part that's ludicrous. Can you at least offer like a, it's like when you see the person like, hey, so an Alex Golden court for $1 billion. I'm like, he doesn't have it. Stop asking. Mm-hmm. Like, sue him for a reasonable number. $10 million is the fine he wants if they just put him on one noon kickoff?
Yep.
Yeah. Singular?
Uh-huh.
You guys are too good at Ohio State to play one noon kickoff? I understand if you don't want to play 10. One?
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting it? We always also pretend like the TV networks get to decide this stuff, Gold. Guess what? Because they spend the
money.
That's
where a lot of the revenue is coming from.
They pay for the right to choose when you play football because they make money. And if they didn't make a bunch of money, you wouldn't make a bunch of money and your players wouldn't make a bunch of money.
Someone said the TV network should skirt the rules. Fine, we'll start it at 12:15. fine.
Oh, yeah.
anything in the noon hour? Well, fine. We'll start at 1 o'clock.
101.
But no, the Fox has the big noon kickoff. Anyway, I doubt this actually passes, but what a waste of time in the state of Ohio. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and Travis Kelce wasn't too thrilled about opening up in Brazil. Hear what he had to say next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we will get to what Travis Kelce had to say about the schedule in just a second. We'll also get back into overall just where the Chiefs are at on prime time throughout this entire year, and in particular, making some history with that and how much it lightens up after the bye week. So we'll get back into the schedule stuff. Also, plenty more schedule talk with Nate Taylor from The Athletic. And frankly, we're also going to ask him about Trey Smith, now that it's post-draft, now that it's
mid-May, the ball rolling.
What's the expectation? Is this going to truly be one of those things that we're going to be talking about a week ahead of the deadline in July for him to sign a deal? And that, by the way, that will quickly become a huge story in about a month, I think.
Yeah, we're all kind of laying low on it now because I still kind of think a deal will get done.
About a month-ish.
July 1st. I think 6 weeks.
All right, so six weeks.
July 1st, 2 weeks before the deadline, we'll be on full Trey Smith watch.
Yeah, you'll be 2 weeks out of the deadline. It also, as we know, impacts potential deals with Trent McDuffie, maybe Karlaftis, but more importantly, I would say, with Trent McDuffie if you don't get something done with Trey Smith. So, yeah, nobody should be panicking yet. It's May 15th. They have about, I think the deadline's, what, 2 months and 3 days or something or whatever away. But we'll talk about it with Nate Taylor in just a bit. So Travis Kelce, New Heights podcast, you guys are well aware of it by now. Obviously one of the most successful podcasts that are out there, period. with the Kelce brothers, and they were talking about a wide variety of things. They even talked about the Pope on this last episode and had some funny jokes about that.
The Chicago-based Pope?
Yeah, yeah. That whole thing is the immediate reaction with him being from Chicago is pretty incredible on social media.
Oh, yeah. It Heisler had a great video out with the 90s viral. Bulls music.
Yeah, the Chicago Bulls intro.
The Pope stuff.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, great.
Yeah, SNL is going to be doing skits on that for a while. And by the way, Heisler will join us for Fan Club Friday tomorrow. So
nice,
we'll talk
okay.
to Heisler probably about his viral moment. But no, Travis Kelce was talking about the schedule, too. And sounds like he's not a fan of maybe the weather in Brazil, which is where they're opening up the season.
I don't know.
That's a good question. Yeah.
There's just something about getting closer to the equator that I don't want to put on football uniform doing that.
Especially in September?
I've been in Jacksonville in September, mm-hmm. and that's miserable. Is Sao Paulo, is that like by the water? Is it going to be?
Sao Paulo? I don't believe. I think it's.
It's inland?
I believe so.
That feels better. I like that in my
you
mind.
You like that more?
I'd rather it be dry than humid. I'm a sweaty. I mean,
there's definitely water around Sao Paulo, but I think it's rivers or something like that, right? Brandon, can you do some geography for us?
I will say this: if it's humid, I'm going to be miserable.
Prepare to be miserable. You're surrounded by the Amazon rainforest.
This is a good point. Yeah,
yeah there's
I
a lot of
all about the
yeah
that whole thing they got down there. Yeah, no, I'm if it's hot and humid and. Kind of what I'm expecting. I'm going to be miserable, but we're going to find a way to get a win.
The good news for Travis Kelce. We have good news for Travis.
Okay.
Good news. In Brazil, the winter months are like June to September. It's winter.
Oh, nice. So it'll be like now it's still the equator. So it's not like
no, it's not
Kansas
snowing.
City winter.
Winter as in it's
still
not
by the
winter as in it's not 95 with okay. humidity up to 100 as in it's in the 70s at night maybe.
Oh, well, that's not bad at
I
all.
I think they're going to be all right.
Travis is, you know, maybe he's less of a sweaty guy now that all the reports are he's lost 20 pounds.
Yes, that's what he claims.
I kind of buy into the theory. I think Dusty mentioned it. I saw it mentioned online and all that stuff. I kind of do buy into the theory that they moved Kelce Jam because he knows he'll have more free time in retirement.
Yeah, so Kelce
Jam. In order
Jam,
to put the whole thing into 2026, he's losing the weight. I think he's doing everything for one final ride. I think
good.
He's putting all of his
good.
Eggs in the one final ride basket. Trying to go out on top, win a Super Bowl, get jacked, and just like ride through the 17 game schedule into, you know,
yeah, no, I
into
think,
the sunset.
I think you still have the sour taste in your mouth from how the Super Bowl played out. You got embarrassed, and he obviously didn't, by his standard, have his best season. And so, yeah, and you know, like there's a very good chance this is it. And or in his case, he literally might just flat out know this is it.
Yeah,
this
knows.
Is it. And so, yeah, you want to go out and have the, you want to end your career, obviously with a ring. You want to end your career though with a great, great statistical season, all that kind of stuff on top of it. And so, yeah, you want to make sure you're in peak shape and it's even harder to do that when you're his age in football terms. So, yeah, man, I'm not surprised by that. The Kelce Jam thing, who knows? There could be a bunch of other stuff in play. They had in a teaser announcement in like February. Then this is past weird this week. They obviously announced that they're waiting to build something bigger and better next year. It could be that. It could be the venue. Who knows, right? There's a million things that can go into that.
Sure. But, it all seems to be connected in a lot of ways where it seems like he's doing everything to put, all right, this is it. Football, 100% dedication all the time, losing the weight, getting right, doing everything I have to do in order to get through this season at maximum capacity. And then I can ride off into the sunset, like we said. And you can kind of do things those ways. So yeah, if you're right, it's winter, then he'll be fine. I'm not saying it'll be like
coastal
chilly.
areas, which Sao Paulo, 13 to 18 degrees average Celsius. And even if you were to go like southern Brazil, which they're not, that's where it can even have occasional frost in June, July, and August. Point being is it's not going to be like miserably, miserably hot in Brazil.
You ever been to Brazil?
We'll have to ask. No, I have not.
We'll have to talk.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to Nate Taylor about that because he's obviously, I'm assuming, going to travel to Sao Paulo, Brazil for that and find his thoughts. Somebody was like, how is Brazil not a place you would want to go?
I mean, I'd go. I'm not going
to
pay.
There's a lot of other places I would go before going to Sao Paulo, Brazil.
This is
going
to sound weird from a sports radio host. I think sometimes people have a hard time being like, you must be like the world's biggest. I'm not a fan. I don't want to plan international travel around local teams. So like, let's just say the Royals open up the season in Japan. I'm not going to go to Japan to watch the Royals. I want to go to Japan to do other stuff. If I'm going to go to Brazil, it's not to watch a Chiefs game. If I'm going to go to London, I'm not planning around a Chiefs game. I'd rather go to a Premier League game.
You can do both.
Or something like, I've been to a lot of Chiefs games. I don't feel this like pressure to like travel for the team internationally. I'm not against the international travel. I just think I would do other things.
Yeah. Well, I think you would.
3 hours doing other. But I'm saying I'd rather like
you just wouldn't
not spend that 4 hours watching a football game. Yeah. I would rather spend that 4 hours doing anything else in the country, almost in a weird way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think you're alone. For me, I would like, let's say they play in Madrid next year. Let's say they're playing in Madrid and I was able to do that trip. I would go there.
You don't mind carving out the afternoon.
I would make sure I'm there for over a week. And so I would do 3 hours at the game, and that would be a very small portion of the trip. And then I would go do everything else you would want to do in Spain or wherever. Right?
You're saying there's enough time to do all the stuff I want to do and also go to the game.
Like, I'm imagining if there's a Chiefs fan, we had someone text in earlier in Kansas City that said they're flying to Brazil for the game. I don't want to speak for them, but my guess is they're not just flying in on Friday morning, going to the game, and flying back Saturday morning. My guess is they're spending
kind of a waste.
My guess is if they're going to spend $1,000 to fly down there, because that's what somebody told us earlier the flight was right now, my guess is they're going to spend, you know, maybe not a full week, but, you know, probably 5 days there or something at least. So anyway.
I feel like if you went on an international trip and you saw your team, I feel like it would leave you a sour taste for the rest of your trip if they lost.
I don't know about that. I view it similar to, it was put over on Twitch by Scoop, which is like, it's like going to a foreign country and be like, you guys want to get McDonald's for breakfast? Like, I can have this at home.
That's how my dad is.
I want the other things in Brazil. I want like the other things in the country.
Again, you can have the other
even
things.
Even if it's just like at the cafe or whatever. I don't care. I just like, you know, I want to do the other stuff.
We were in Hawaii,
I'm
I was
not
like,
disagreeing. I don't blame people for doing it. It's just like not how I would do the international trip.
When we were in Hawaii, I would want to go to like McDonald's or talk about it. My dad's like, we're in Hawaii. We're going somewhere where we can't
get. I'm with you on the food stuff, because even when we were just in Santa Cruz, like I wasn't going to Chipotle when there's a Cafe El Palomar or whatever. Some real I'm with you on the food thing. 1,000%. Yeah, you don't go to restaurants when you're in other cities that are you have here. That 100% with you.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hit up like I'm not trying to get like a $5 biggie bag while I'm out on vacation.
Oh, you don't want a Whataburger?
Now I'll tell you what.
Look, if it's just like a regular state, like I'll be in Fort Worth for my daughter's dance comp. Not traveling for that purpose necessarily.
When I get back to the airport, though, I will crush a quarter pounder. Okay,
that's airports free reign. Like, there are no rules there.
That's a little bit different. When you get to the airport, like that's on the way back from Santa Cruz. When I had a layover in Denver. I had a layover in Denver on the way back, and I was starving. And that quarter pounder tasted amazing. Okay,
airports
tasted
amazing. Yeah. Again, as I told the mayor once, lawless society. Do whatever.
I feel like working, you guys can tell me, like in Kansas City, our airport obviously is brand new now, and it's so nice compared to what we had. It's amazing. It's great.
Oh, it's nice.
But we don't have, like, we have a lot of local places, which is good, right? We have a lot of local places in there. Some of the bigger airports, they have some local, but they also have like your Chick-fil-A's, your McDonald's, et cetera, whatever. I feel like working, at least at that McDonald's I was at in Denver, it felt like that'd be the worst McDonald's to work at on earth. The Denver Airport McDonald's felt like just chaos nonstop all day. I mean, now, that airport gets busy.
The McDonald's in particular would be bad. Because, like, we sat at, I think, you know, one of our layovers, right? We had time, like, maybe 2 hours or something. So we sat down at, like, I don't know, whatever restaurant-y thing they had there where you get, like, a sandwich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, would this suck to work? You got to go through security. And then I saw, like, the price of the tab, and I was like, probably doesn't suck. You just going to serve burgers and fries to people, leave it in 30 minutes? And the tab, $60, probably not bad. Probably not a bad living. But McDonald's, you're not getting the tip. So, like, it's doubly bad. It's like you're busy and you got to go through all the TSA nonsense, but less tip stuff. So, yeah, probably be the worst. Maybe they pay you more.
I feel like Starbucks would be the worst because everyone's grumpy. Oh, you didn't get my coffee right. I wanted soy, not almond.
Man. I just wouldn't want to go to the airport every day to, like...
Yeah.
I just wouldn't want to work in the terminal every day. Mm-hmm. Go through? Do they go through a separate? Does anyone work at the airport? Do you go through like a separate TSA line? Now I'm just kind of curious.
I think they go through the normal one.
I had a friend who worked at Southwest for a long time, but she did like gate agent stuff, and she took me down into the bowels. And even though I'm like in retrospect, am I allowed down? I don't know. But I was down where like the employees and the other people like past TSA, like kind of in the belly area of there. And I was like, this seems like kind of just a weird setup. You guys kind of go through this one security gate. You do your own thing. I don't know, man. Just an interesting
I will say, TSA pre-check, totally worth it. Great thing. Anyway.
What's it good for? 3-5 years?
I think I have it for 5, yeah. Okay, I think it's 5. I don't know. I've had it for a couple now. It's worth it, man. It's more, some airports more than others. There's some airports where you're like, okay, I didn't even really need it, but it's a Very convenient thing to have. All right, let's talk more about the schedule. We can tie airports later with Nate Taylor. We can talk airports all show long if you want.
I love our new airport.
Honestly, it's awesome. It really is. It is phenomenal. We had a little rough patch when it first opened. People were freaking out what to do. The convenience and all. It's great. It's
every headline about like, how did we park?
It's great. Yeah.
Let's take a look at the schedule. I want to look at it from the AFC West
Where
perspective
are you flying
for a minute
to this year, Cody?
Before we talk about the schedule and kind of our initial thoughts, which was a lot of the same ones, which is first half of the schedule looks like kind of a nightmare. Second half of the schedule looks a little bit nuts. I did look at the other AFC West teams. I'll be honest, I did not look at the Raiders. I don't care. I don't think it matters what their schedule is. They're not the team that's going to factor into things here. So until proven otherwise, I apologize, Raiders. I've left you off. My biggest takeaway in taking a look at the Broncos and the Chargers schedule is this is an excuse-free year from the Chargers. So help me if somebody tries to make a reason why they can win the division next year, if they don't even compete with this cupcake of a schedule, that will be embarrassing. This is an easy schedule, just straight up. Now, I understand we're going to be like, well, are we sure? Like, does it look that? Like, I don't know if it's the easiest schedule on the planet of all time, but it's got a soft middle. It's got the Chiefs in Brazil, which I think helps them, at least based on that gold.
Absolutely. That's the funny thing about the narrative around the Chiefs playing Brazil. And, oh, they don't have to go to L.A. and play a road divisional game. It is the most lazy narrative that is out there nationally right now. We saw it yesterday during the show. I saw it even more after the show on various platforms. The Chiefs with Mahomes, I believe, are 4-0 at SoFi against the Chargers. Mahomes on the road in the division is, what, 19-1? This idea that them avoiding playing in L.A. is some favor to them.
No.
Their chances of losing the game week one in Brazil are higher than it would be if they were playing in L.A. It just is. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but it is higher.
Yes.
There's the field conditions. There's the travel. The fact that the Chargers will maybe have more fans there.
Or at least it's equal or neutral.
Whatever, right. So the notion that not playing in L.A. is some favor to Kansas City. You don't think the Chiefs would rather just fly to L.A. than fly all the way down to the Southern Hemisphere? Yeah, it makes no sense.
The most difficult part of the Chargers schedule is that they get three division games out the gate. Their very first three games are Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos. But they have the Giants on the schedule, the Colts. I don't think Miami's a particularly good team. A rookie in the Tennessee Titans. The Jags, the Steelers, like, have I listed Murderer's Row? There's a lot of mediocre teams like them.
There's similar schedule to the Chiefs in some regard. There's the difference is they don't play the first place teams in those divisions.
Yeah, the most difficult games on their schedule are the Chiefs, as we had previously mentioned, and then probably the Eagles, who they get at home in late December, so let's see what kind of team they are by then. And then maybe the Cowboys on the road, again, in late December, where maybe it doesn't matter. The rest of their schedule is significantly easier than Kansas. If they can't get through this schedule, then they're not getting through any of them. That was the way when I looked at their schedule. Yeah.
And they were ahead of schedule. The Chargers were ahead of schedule.
They got a 9.5 win total this year. That's the second highest or third highest in the NFL. They're right near the top at win total.
9.5 is the third highest in the NFL?
Yeah. Really? It goes like 11.5, 10.5.
You don't mean the third. You mean like there's a bunch of teams that have.
Yes.
I was like, I gotcha.
Third highest number you can have. They're probably like 8 to 12.
Okay. Then. Thank you.
If that makes more sense.
Yeah, I hear you now.
11.5 is the highest any team has got right now on the book I was looking at earlier. 10.5 is the next highest grouping of teams. Then there's not a lot in that group. And then a bunch at 9.5. They're in a lump of teams at 9.5. They're certainly not alone on that end.
Yeah, I mean,
when I look at their schedule, they got it pretty easy overall.
Yeah, I think they're clearly going to be a playoff team again. The question is, how much do they push the Chiefs in the division? And last year they won 11 games. They weren't even close to win the division because the Chiefs won 15. So let's say you think the Chiefs are a 12-13 win team. Can the Chargers get to that mark? You know, if you think the Chiefs, because I don't look, if we're being real, the Chiefs are not winning 15 games this year. And I understand you're like, why not?
Just not how it goes.
They're a 12-13 win team, which is a great year. And can the Chargers get to that mark? If you think the Chiefs are winning 12 or 13, I think the answer is the Chargers aren't getting the 12 or 13. I mean, if the Chiefs get the 13, it means they certainly didn't get swept by the Chargers in the season, most likely, if they're a 13-win football team, given their schedule. And if they win week one in Brazil, then, you know, it sounds so crazy how one game can shift it. If the Chargers beat the Chiefs in Brazil,
and then Raiders.
Then you can start maybe having a conversation. Can the Chargers be a 12 or 13 win team? But if the Chiefs beat them week one, I think once again, the Chargers are in 10-11 range. Yeah.
Again, if they can't compete, like if it's not December 14th and it's like, all right, they need the Chiefs to lose today, but then division's all tied up. If the Chiefs go and win, like if they're not even in the conversation, because that's last year because the Chiefs won so many games, there was no conversation. But that's been the thing that stood out the most to me during this run for the Chiefs AFC West titles is, Gold, very rarely by year has the AFC West even had a conversation in December. There's been a couple of times. One time the Raiders faced the Chiefs.
Yeah, November or something.
Late into November.
Yeah.
You know, and like, okay, like if the Raiders had won that game, I think they would have been in a virtual tie with the Chiefs. And the Chiefs ended up winning the division by like four.
Or the Chargers.
They ended up winning the division by four games that year.
The overtime game at SoFi where Kelce had the walk-off touchdown or whatever. If they would have lost that game, I think at that point the Chargers would have been tied or jumped in the first place. But they didn't, right? The Chiefs won. So yeah, the Chiefs have been able to step up whenever it feels like. In November, there's a huge divisional game that can swing the whole divisional race. The Chiefs have delivered.
And it usually comes in October, November, and then we all just kind of wash our hands with, well, I guess the Chiefs are AFC West winners again. The end. Like, we don't even really get into it again because it doesn't feel like something. It doesn't feel like a team actually competing with it. The 11-6 team was the best chance they had in 2023, and what was the best team that year? 10 wins? I don't know. Within a couple of games, maybe? Anybody remember the 2023 AFC West standings now?
No.
I don't remember ever feeling like they were going to lose the AFC West.
No, I don't.
Eight wins. The next closest team was the Raiders, and they didn't even finish 500. So, like, even in that year, it wasn't a competition, man. Like, that's all. It's just kind of funky.
913-586-7965 from the 417. Thinking we go 15-12 again is indeed crazy. I'm a realist. I got us 14-3. Yeah, I mean, well, look.
That's when we get to call somebody a hater when they eventually say, like, 12-5.
Well, I remember
five.
That. Was it last year or something? We did our predictions, and I...
You were a game higher than me. I was at 13 wins. I think you were
14.
Yeah,
and people thought...
Maybe 12 and 13, not something like that.
Yeah. I was like, saying it, your team's going to win 12 games is not being a hater. It's not. It's just not.
That was an easy overcover last year.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but the whole thing, have to get to the end of the season.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this more in the noon hour, but I do think the first month of the season, from a narrative perspective, also is huge because there's a narrative out there. Because they looked the way they did and got their butts kicked in the Super Bowl, that like, all right, well, there's this thought that, all right, they're just done. You know, this is, they're just done. They're not going to be that team again. And they have a chance with all the standalone games, with all the primetime games, they've got a chance right away to remind people, oh, by the way, still here. Or, right, the flip would be, if they start 0-2, I don't think they're going to, but if they start 0-2 with losses to the Chargers and Eagles, people are going to say, ah, see, they're broken. They're
this team's fried.
So that'll
run
be
is over.
That'll be the interesting, I think, conversation the first month of the season. Which one is it? Is it going to be that reminding everybody, or is it going to be people saying, "Ah, see, they're just not." And look, those will be conversations we'll be having on air if they were to start 0-2. They haven't started 0-2 under Andy Reid since when? Have they ever?
I don't know if they have ever. Even
his first year, maybe. I don't even know that.
Even when they struggle or they have problems on their team, because like I see people being like, well, hey, they're not sure that their offensive line is going to play.
Sure, that's
level.
A major question, yeah.
There are real questions. I'm not saying that. But even when they have problems, last year they had massive offensive line problems, and I think they overachieved. They still won 15 games.
Yes.
No team overcomes the deficits more than they overcome the deficits. So if you think all of a sudden the offensive line problems are the reason they're getting down to 10 wins, I'm sorry, did you watch last year's team play football? Last year's team had no one at left. They bent their left tackle less than a month into the season. By week 13 of the season, and moved their left guard to play left tackle. That was after trying somebody else at left tackle, picking a guy up off the street to play left tackle. Then they moved their guard to left tackle, which means they didn't have an all-pro left guard anymore. They just had Mike Caliendo to play it instead. And even still, they won 15 games and made it to the Super Bowl. So even in the most pessimistic view of things going south where they don't play or live up to their standards, 11 wins, 12 wins. I mean, that's the downside.
And we're all, of course, all these teams' injuries play a huge role. But, you know, depending on what player you're getting injured, everybody's going to do it. The Chiefs dealt with a ton of injuries at wide receiver last year. You know, can you afford certain spots more than others? Yeah, I mean, every team will tell you that. I mean, of course, quarterback, you can't afford injuries there. You know, some teams can afford wide receiver injuries. Some teams can't. Some teams can afford an injury to their secondary. Other teams can't. I mean, that's the stuff that we all know can happen. That's part of when you're predicting, or if you're even looking at the odds, that's the risk you take, right, about betting on a team to do something a certain year. You're hoping and you're banking on them staying healthy. You're not, you know, you're not betting on them to get hurt.
No, because that's a weird way to bet, kind of, unless a guy's just constantly injured, I guess. Somebody said, is that right, Colt, that the Chiefs are only -110 to win the AFC West right now?
It's low because, again,
I can get pretty much an even
the
money
narrative,
right now?
The narrative out there is that Everybody saw, the public saw what happened in the Super Bowl, and people, I think, are letting that one game and forgetting they won 15. They're letting that one game and they're thinking that, well, that's just what they are now. Oh, they just, you know what I mean? And that's a mistake, I think, personally. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that kind of big picture stuff later as we get closer to the season. But yeah, right now, Cody, NFL futures, the divisional odds at FanDuel have the Chiefs at -110, the Chargers at 3-1, the Broncos at +330, and then the Raiders 10-1.
So hopefully sometime the next week, you'll get your Caitlin Clark card graded. You'll get a PSA 10, you know, great. You'll get the best grade. It'll sell for $25,000. And then I think you and I both know the best investment you can make, way more than like some security account or CD, is $10,000 in the Chiefs to win the AFC West, right?
That's big.
JT?
That's right.
That's a guarantee doubling your money in a single year.
So your advice is instead of maxing out IRA and stuff is to just bet it. Yeah, great advice.
Yeah, that's what we want to do at Sports Radio.
And my first advice was to buy a house. Yeah. A much more sensible thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying bet it all on the Chiefs to win the AFC West.
The Caitlin Clark card, it is getting graded as we speak. Hopefully in the next week-ish, I'll find out the grade, and then it'll be in the June auction. So I won't know what it sells for even till July. I won't even get money probably till end of July or August. So we got some time here.
Update. Can't have the odd shift too much on us.
The last time the Chiefs started 0-2 was 2014.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. There you go. 2014. What was the record at the end of that year?
That was a good question to ask, but I did not find that.
Okay, you're good. I was like,
2014. We're still watching James Shields throw.
Was that the year where they went on that winning streak to get into the playoffs right at the back end of it with the winning streak?
Yeah, they probably lost to like the Steelers in the wild card round.
They were 9-7 that year.
Yeah, because I think they
that was the one year they missed the playoffs.
And seven.
That was the only year they missed the playoffs under Andy Reid, right?
I believe that is accurate. Yeah. Yep.
Never been a single game.
16th best offense in football that year. Is that right?
Wow. They haven't been more than one game under .500 with Patrick Mahomes, it says.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that was the Alex Smith era. Again, they're, isn't that funny? Their basement at any time under Andy Reid with Alex Smith was 9-7 and barely missed the playoffs. With Patrick Mahomes, the worst season they have had is an 11-win season. In the regular season, the worst season they've had in the playoff run is overtime of the AFC Championship game, and that still remains.
And it was at home. Like, what?
Like,
let me ask you this. This is pretty good. Random only because 2014's Pro Football Pages in front of me, real quick. Three players threw passes in 2014 for the Chiefs. Can you name the three?
Okay, Alex Smith.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, I don't know if that was the year. I mentioned earlier that I've been to New York to watch a Giants game, and I remember specifically around that time with Alex Smith as quarterback, Travis Kelce throwing a pick in the Meadowlands. I'm going to say Travis Kelce.
Nope. Three players.
Don Terry Poe.
No, three players in 2015 threw a pass. One was obviously Alex Smith. The second was the backup quarterback, who was?
Chase Daniel,
okay.
And then there was a third player on the team that threw a single pass that year. Any guesses? Real cool. We got to go to break.
Man, you just
Jeremy Maclin.
Dustin Colquitt.
Colquitt.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Talk more about the, I think it was 0-1. And we'll get back into the primetime slate and what's going on tonight in Kansas City as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.